Welcome to Breaking the Mould with Cyntho Pembleton. Here we delve into people's experiences of taking the road less travelled. We explore the ups and the downs along their journey and how this path has changed their lives forever. Hello and welcome to Breaking the Mould. My name's Cyntho and in today's episode I'm joined by the lovely Claire Fricker. And in this episode, it's particularly special because we'll be talking about Claire's journey to becoming a mother and ultimately achieving her dream. Claire, just want to say a massive welcome. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this episode. I know at the moment you have your hands full with Daisy, your little girl, so I really appreciate you taking the time out to talk about the path you chose and sharing this experience on this episode.
Oh, you're more than welcome, Cyntho. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure having you here. And, you know, gosh, it's been a while since we last spoke. I think we were talking about this earlier. It was at your baby shower, which was really a beautiful event. You know, got to actually catch up with a lot of old friends that I hadn't seen in a while. So, yeah, great experience and it was lovely to see everyone there.
Yeah, that was a lovely day. Thank you for coming to that again. But no, that was lovely when we all got to catch up, especially for my baby shower that I had dreamt of for so long. But yeah, that was the last time that I saw you.
And you made a huge effort as well. I mean, I must say the food, the cakes, absolutely lovely. Enjoyed it.
Oh yeah. I think I was planning that baby shower for years, to be fair. So yeah, I had to go all out.
Oh, it was really lovely. So to get you all up to speed, Claire's bravely agreed to talk about her experience of choosing IVF via sperm donor and her choice of becoming a single parent. I'm really curious and excited to dive into this topic with you, Claire. That said, completely understand it can also be a sensitive subject. So if at any point, if any of these questions are a bit challenging or uncomfortable, please don't hesitate to let me know. And I'll gladly move on to the next.
Oh, thank you, Cyntho. No, yeah, that's perfect.
Lovely. Okay, so I think we'll start, Claire, firstly, you know, if you could start by telling us about the reasons why you chose to have fertility treatment by yourself.
So by myself, that's because I was diagnosed with infertility in 2015, but I was in a relationship. So we went into IVF together. We had three rounds of unsuccessful pregnancies and then a relationship breakdown. So at that time, my fertility consultants told me that my chances of pregnancy would decrease within months of my next birthday. So I had to look into options and continue my IVF journey on my own. So that is why I chose the solo journey.
Yeah, so there was obviously a lot of pressure for you there. Was it a case of, you know what, if I look for a partner now to start a family, that's going to take quite a bit of time? So it was a case of, you know, wait a little bit, it can take forever to meet the right person. That decision and have the fertility treatment yourself.
Well, that's the thing. I had a relationship breakdown and I was with that partner for a long time and we had done around 5 years of unsuccessful IVF. So it wasn't a case of I would know when love would find me and if it would find me again. So I had to look into that option. And at that time in my life, the solo journey was the right path to take.
Yeah, and I can remember actually, I think I saw you, I don't know if it was before you had the treatment, and you know, you were just kind of taking some time out to focus on yourself, you know, find Claire again, I guess, and find what makes you happy, and you know, do a bit of soul searching, I guess.
Oh, most definitely. I'd just come out of that relationship and I was going through heartbreak, but I still had that burning desire to be a mother, and I had always had that desire, so I was still going down that path, but also as you said, definitely working on myself.
Yeah, which is absolutely brilliant to see. And I can, you know, I can see that you've definitely grown and flourished and you've worked out for yourself what's important for you. At the end of the day, you know, you have your own life and you make your own decisions yourself. How have you found, you know, with family and friends, you know, in terms of their views on the, you know, the decision that you've made and the choice that you've made to bring up this child yourself?
Well, with my family and friends, they don't really, their view is that they think I'm amazing and that they think that I'm brave, because they've always, like yourself as well, being my friend from the beginning, you have been a part of even the journey of when I was in the relationship doing IVF. You've been there supporting me. So I think because everyone knows my actual circumstances, when it comes to choosing my solo journey, you was all a part of that and you were all proud of me for choosing that still as well.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think that's how it works so well, is that you've got a support network, you've got family and friends that can encourage you, because I can imagine doing this yourself was quite scary. I mean, did you speak to anybody else that had gone through this, you know, with IVF? Or
I feel like it's still something that I process now, because I made that decision quite quickly, because I was literally told within a few months my fertility clock would decrease maybe by half. I went to my clinic, I spoke to them about the options. You get one counselling session regarding doing it on your own. So then I did my first round and I was pregnant, my first round with the donor dad. So I feel like it's something that you're still processing. I'm still going to be learning the journey with my daughter growing up. But it's still the right decision that I made, and that's our fairy tale ending. But yeah, it's still something that I still process now, because it was a quick decision because of, like I said, with the relationship breakdown, and who knew when I was going to be in love again or if I would find love again.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, with the counselling session that you received, I mean, how long did it last for? If you don't mind me asking, what sort of checks do they do there?
So the clinic have to do a counselling session with you. You have to do that. And they tell you everything about going into the solo journey and how your child can reach out to the donor dad when they're 18, and just how you feel overall and stuff. And they really help you. And one of the key points of the counselling session is they say that we have to be honest with our child from whenever we can. Whenever they understand, we have to be open and honest about their donor dad. And that's how you have to go about it. Like, you have to let them know about your journey.
Okay. So, you know, I suppose the minute they get to a point where they're aware of, you know, the role of a mum and a dad, and that's where you'd have to kind of have that conversation with them. So is this something you have to sign up to? Like, you have to agree to do that?
No, they just tell you when you become a parent, honesty is the best policy. And that's it then. It's up to you when you choose to tell your child. The rest is then, up to us. We go on and raise our children the way we want to.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with your family, it sounds like with your family and friends, they've all been very supportive. And I think that goes a long way when you're trying to do this yourself. And I know, obviously, it's not conventional, but, you know, you've been very lucky, because, you know, you've got that support, you've got that network around you who are proud which is brilliant. That's what you want. I think that's what a lot of people hope for when they make these choices, which are difficult, especially a snap decision like that. If you can get the support around you, that's wonderful. You know, I'm really pleased that you had that going through this journey. You know, do you believe, I suppose you've kind of answered this before anyway, you know, do you believe using a donor has taken the pressure off meeting the right person? Obviously now you've got Daisy, you've reached your, you know, you achieved your dream there of having a child of your own. I guess now it's a case of, if someone comes along, that's fine. If they don't, you know what, I've got Daisy. So I can, you know, I can accept that. I can live with that.
I don't really think about it at all in this terminology, because love is love. So if love is going to find me, it will either way. Like, love is love, isn't it? If I fall in love with someone, that is going to happen. And I don't know if that's going to happen. I mean, I'm happy and very content that it's just me and Daisy. So having the perfect person in our life would be a blessing, but we would be completely happy without that person. But if love is going to find me, it will find me. I don't really have control over that.
Yeah, I mean, and the fact that also, you know, you say that is just not in my on my mind at the moment. It's me and Daisy, just shows how content you are.
Oh, yes.
And you're right, you know, you never know when love's comes around the corner. No. I say when it comes around the corner, you've obviously found love through Daisy anyway. The point I want to get across today is love comes in various ways, and it doesn't always have to come from a relationship. You know, you can actually find love from children, from friends. There's different types of love. And I don't think you necessarily have to be in a relationship to feel that love, if that makes sense.
No. And yeah. You've got a really, really good point, because there are people in other forms of love, like relationships, and they might not be solely happy, but I'm madly in love with my daughter and we're 100% content and we are a family of two. But love is love at the end of the day. And if the right love does find me round that corner, I mean, they're gonna have to chase me, obviously.
Oh yeah, they're gonna have to be, you know, perfect for Daisy.
They're gonna
have to
be a lot, because this isn't just about me, this is about my daughter as well, so there'd be a massive role model in her life as well.
Exactly. And you know, I think it's great you can just focus on your, you know, one love, which is Daisy. She's your priority. And I think, I'm guessing, the advantage there is you make the decisions for her. You're not having to go through anyone else to make these decisions. You don't have to consider other people's opinions. You just make that decision yourself.
Yeah, thank Daisy. You, because even people that I know in happy, healthy relationships almost secretly say to me, like, we envy you that you get to make, like, 100% wholeheartedly all of the decisions for your daughter without almost having to ask someone else. So that is a pro to this, to be fair, that everything is just me and Daisy. I do like that.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think it's nice that you know, you're not having to argue with somebody about
child. Because a lot of people do, they just argue about a lot of stuff. And having a child is such hard work. I've witnessed people around me becoming new parents, and they've definitely, like, struggled or had a more difficult time than myself with just me and Daisy.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's just amazing, and obviously that's another advantage of,
yeah, it's one of the advantages, child, for sure.
Major,
yeah,
advantage there. So I mean, research does show that having a father figure improves the quality of a child's life. How have you tried to overcome this challenge?
I would say research is 100% right, because my dad is my biggest hero. He's, yeah, the biggest blessing in my life. And like I said, so before you go into this, you do have to have the counselling in regards to this to have a father figure. But my daughter does have the strongest male role models from my from her granddad, from her uncles. So they are her strong father figure village. So she does have that in her life, because I'm very blessed to have these big role models in our life. So she does have that from my dad and from her uncles,
and that's, you know, that's brilliant. It shows that there's a close-knit family there, and
yes,
you know, there's a village of fatherly figures for her, not just one, but you know, there's a group there.
Plenty of father
figures. She's got plenty of choices, spoilt for choice.
She loves them all. She loves them more than me. She's obsessed with them. She loves them, aww, more than anything, and they are amazing with her.
Oh, that's so cute. It's just incredible that she's got those fatherly role models, because I think we were just talking earlier, I know in some situations, and it is unfortunate that, you know, some mothers don't have the, you know, the father present there. Yes. And I think in your situation, it's lovely that, although you are a single parent, you can still have the best of both worlds. You've got the presence of, you know, male role models in Daisy's life, which seems to work very well.
Because I do see how it almost could come across as even a selfish act that I chose to do this on my own, but there's so many different circumstances in life, and like, there are some loving couples that may have brought a baby into the world and then they might find it difficult and they might not be together, because there's a lot of research of how much of a percentage of people break up within the first 12 years of a child's life. So I do get it, but she does have really strong male role models, and I did think about these things before I went into it, but no, it's perfect. She has got a big village of male role models around her.
So do you feel there is enough information about you know, sperm donors online? I had a bit of a sneaky peek on a website about the profiles of
as
donors,
you
as you do, you know, on a on a Tuesday night. And yeah, I mean, there was quite a lot of information on there.
Yeah.
Can you talk us through what sort of information is on there and whether it is enough?
I can about my website that I use, because I used a European website. I kind of knew some of the factors that I wanted, and the UK sperm bank apparently lack certain donors.
Okay.
And I heard a sperm bank called Syros in Europe, and they are like one of the most leading, like the best sperm banks, and they do everything for all the right reasonings, and they have a lot of information. So Daisy's donor dad, I have pictures of him when he was a baby.
Okay.
I know everything about his eye colour, hair colour. I know like what jobs he's taken. I know everything about his family, their ages, health. So I thought his baby picture was really cute. And then when I looked at his overall family health, like his parents and even his grandparents, they're really elderly. They're making it up to the 90 plus, and there's no major health conditions. I remember some girls that were in my friendship group, and we were there having a look for Daisy's dad, and they said if they could, they would always base it on health.
I agree with that.
And a cute baby picture, obviously. And he had a really cool voice note, and it said like he thought that family was so amazing, really important, that he hoped that the mother that was listening to this voice note, he knew that she would make the perfect mother. And yeah, it just sold it for me, and I was like, that's going to be Daisy's dad.
Cool. And did you have to send anything over to him, to the donor at all, or not?
Nope.
Okay.
I think at one point I was looking too much into it, when one of my friends really helped me and was like, we're all doing it. Like when you pick your partner and you're like, oh, I like him and I like those things about him, and oh, I might not like his mother, or you know, like you're picking that person to be your husband and the father of your children still in the same way.
Yeah, so, I mean, do you think in 10 years time it will be a bit like Tinder and you're swiping?
It could possibly be, yeah.
You never know. But I was amazed with how much information was on there, like you said.
Yeah, there really is.
Yeah, absolutely. But there was so much on there, that even the star signs as well.
That's really important, because I really love star signs. Me and Daisy have the same star sign now, though.
Oh, that's lovely. So between 2012 and 2022, the number of women having fertility treatment on their own has jumped from 1,400 to 4,800. So massive increase. And that's a report from the fertility regulators. What do you feel are the benefits for a child being brought up in this way? I think we've gone through a lot of them, to be honest, today. But you can always add.
But really, what I was going to say, like, there's no benefit to such of a child being brought up through IVF, because that's just the science to help you become a parent. Babies are raised the way like we parent them. So there's no benefits of IVF is just the science, the medical help to become a parent. So everything else that we do, that's on us. That's even naturally conceived. How we are bringing up the children, that is up to us, how we are raising these children.
Yeah. And that's a brilliant point. It's the science of it all. And then it's down to you as the individual.
IVF is just medical help. That was medical help for me anyway, in my situation, because I couldn't have babies naturally, because I was classed as infertile in 2017. So to me, thank God for science, so I could have my baby. But now how I raise her is on me, and how I raise her, that's with everyone.
So if I sort of change the question a bit, then, you know, what do you feel are the benefits for bringing up a child, I suppose, by yourself as a mother?
I think I've been asked this question face to face before, and I say to people that I would still say believe in the fairy tale of a mum and dad, and that's your fairy tale. Yeah, that's the fairy tale we see. There are definitely benefits of, like we said before, that we covered, okay, like we laugh and joke with my friends, and they're like, yeah, you don't have to put up with this man that's walking around that stinks of Lynx Africa, or he's got a lot to say about the child, or they say, oh, he's not even helping. They're the positives, because I can just be with Daisy and I don't have to deal with this man walking around.
Suppose that the accountability just lies with you, the book stops with you, so whatever you do, you know, impacts the child, and whether it's right or it goes wrong, it's down to you. There's nobody else to blame. So in that respect, and also you can plan her, you know, you can plan her life, you can plan her day around your life rather than around your life and someone else's life.
Because I wouldn't say to someone, go and have a child on your own through IVF. I used IVF for medical reasons, and I went as a solo mother for the reasons as well, because of the relationship breakdown and it being my last and only option. So I wouldn't actually say go and do that on your own, unless like there is a lot of reasons behind you want to do that. Because if my fairy tale ended in the mum, the dad and the baby, that was going to be the fairy tale ending. But this is still my perfect fairy tale ending of me and Daisy.
Yeah, and like we said earlier, you know, it's not something you planned. You know, you didn't plan to have this happen. Sometimes in life, we can go through really bad situations, really horrific events. And I know at the time you think, oh, there's just no way out of this. But actually, you know, something beautiful comes out of it.
Yeah, and I think all happy ending, basically.
Exactly. And I think I admire you, because with the relationship breakdown, you kind of just focused on yourself. You didn't go straight into relationship. You thought, right, you know what? I'm going to do a bit of soul searching, focus on myself, and then I'll figure it out, which you did. And here we are now. So
yeah, that was the most important. It wasn't regarding finding happiness in another person immediately. It was finding happiness within myself and then still becoming the mother that I really wanted to be. And as you said, like, I did all that. So I focused on myself. And I think the worst thing to do is come out of a relationship and go straight into another one. You're not finding happiness in another person. You can only find it in yourself.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that. And I think when we're younger, especially when I was in my 20s, you know, you think, right, you know, if I find the person, I'm going to be happy and we're going to live a long and happy life. But if you're not happy yourself, then you're going to find faults in that person. You'll find faults in yourself, and you're just never going to be satisfied. Yeah. And there's always going to be something missing. And I think sometimes when there's something missing, we kind of blame the other person, when really we need to actually do some more growing and working on ourselves.
We need to take some accountability. I come out of my relationship knowing that I took accountability for some of my characteristics of how I was, and there was underlying reasons for those things. So you do have to do that, and then you grow, as you say. Like, I'm a wholeheartedly different person now, and I've grown a lot. So I've been able to grow as a person and become a mother and get my dream baby and be a family of two. So this is definitely like perfect for us, definitely.
Yeah, and also, you know, you've got that life experience, and, you know, when Daisy gets older, you can teach her about these life lessons, which is beautiful.
Stay away from boys.
Both, I think, you know, focus on yourself. Yes. Learn to love yourself. I always think if you love yourself, you attract the right people as well.
Yeah,
if you're in
definitely.
A good place, you attract the right people, whether it's family, friends, relationships. You always attract the right people when you're in a good place.
Most definitely, they're the key things that I will be teaching her.
So since having the child, have you faced any difficulties with being a single parent,
being on my own? No, because I've had such a big village around me helping. My parents were there, all of my siblings, because I do have 5 of them.
Helps having a big family then, doesn't it?
Yeah, and a lot of friends, and I had a big village. But then at one point, actually, they said, we're all gonna give you a minute to figure out being a mom. I'm still doing that, and I feel like people who even have a child of 30 years old is still figuring that out, because like, as you know, being around children, like, every single day you're learning, aren't you, and you're figuring stuff out. But I think I'm doing a really good job though. And Daisy's always so happy and everything. So Yeah, and people are always saying that I'm doing an amazing. I mean, I was tired, if that counts. I was really tired, but
Yeah. I mean, I
otherwise,
imagine when she was
no.
younger, a newborn, that's quite tiring to do. I mean, that must have been tiring to do to begin with by yourself.
So I was diagnosed with something called POTS as well, where I was really low in iron because I lost a lot of blood. So I had severe dizzy spells,
Gosh.
losing a lot of blood still, and really tired. And I didn't know that when this baby comes, that you have to wake up every single hour and feed this baby. And I had no idea what you do or how you do it. We had to form a group chat actually with
I was going to
people
say.
to ask some questions every day. I think I was getting a bit annoyed because I was like, how do you do this and how do you do
Well, at least you've got some
that?
friends there to help you out.
Yeah,
And
honestly, when they say it takes a village to raise a baby, it really does.
well, I think you got there in the end. I think now you've probably, with more
Found my feet.
experience, getting more confident, you've found your feet. So that's lovely. Tell me more about the special bonds you have with Daisy. I think you have actually answered this question already, but what is Daisy like as a child? Like, what's her personality like, her likes, dislikes? I think we'd like to know more about Daisy.
Well, the girl that I prayed for nearly 10 years, she is everything and more that I could have ever dreamt of. She's funny, really adventurous. I mean, you would have seen lots of photos and videos of this
Yeah,
girl.
absolutely.
Yeah, she is a massive character. I can't even put her into words. She's just so special, like everything that I've ever wanted, but like more. She's a handful.
I'm guessing it's Christmas Day every day with
Oh
Daisy.
yeah, she's a handful. But a lot of people say about her how adventurous she is. Like she loves the outdoors. She has so much confidence. Like she's 1.5 and she's really good at swimming. She
Oh
tries
wow.
to climb trees. She's just, yeah, I think with girls, like, yeah, they're very adventurous and confident and they like to do their own thing. She's got a slide in her bedroom, a trampoline in her bedroom.
Gosh. She's
But
gonna be a
yeah,
sporty girl then,
oh, she's
I
everything. The
imagine,
fact,
traveling the
yeah,
world.
I mean, I've loved her my entire life anyway, but yeah, honestly, she's amazing. She is the happiest little girl.
Oh. In England, the law now allows children to meet their donor when they turn 18. I think we kind of covered this earlier on. What's your view on children meeting their donor? And would you encourage it with your own daughter?
So you're right, the law did change, and Daisy will have access to a donor's identifying information when she's 18. And that will really help her know about her biological origins. So if Daisy then, once she knows all of the information and she wants to go and meet her dad, he is based in Denmark, and we will pack a bag and we will be off on a girls' trip, and she can do that. Yeah, and I will be all for it.
Lovely. I mean, you get a trip to Denmark as well,
Yeah, one of the
beautiful
safest
country.
countries, apparently one of the best places to live. So you don't, we might move there. We don't know yet.
Yeah, I mean, is that, do you worry about that day when you had to let her know? Or, I suppose you
No,
built
I'm
this bond with
excited.
her.
I think it's, I look at everything as a positive, really. And I'm excited. I know because Daisy will know the background and she'll know everything about her mother's life and how amazing I'm going to be as a mother and her amazing upbringing. She will be excited by it all. I know she will. And it will be a journey that we can both go on to go and meet. I mean, my dad said he's excited because he said, like, he's financing us and he's always treating us, and he's like, Daisy's dad can give us some money when she's 18.
Is he? I'm guessing he's aware at some point he might meet Daisy.
Yep, so when she was
Yeah.
born, he got a message to say that a baby girl was born. He doesn't
Oh.
have to have anything to do with
Yeah.
the child financially or anything, because donors can have up to 10 families each.
Oh, wow. Gosh.
Yeah, so it's a whole different
That's
topic that I don't
incredible.
even know. So please don't ask me questions about this, but
That's
Daisy
okay.
will have siblings, obviously, as well.
Yeah, that just opens up another door there of all these other siblings that she would
It's
have.
not a door that I've even, I mean, I've just become a mother and she's 1.5, so I haven't thought about those things. I just know that she will have these loving siblings out there and have the same journey. And I find it really exciting.
Of course. And then, you know, I suppose later on in life when she's old enough, she's got that choice whether to seek out those other siblings. And, you know, they could be darted all over the world and she could, you know, go gallivanting around the world.
Traveling around the world. As long as I don't want any birthday presents or anything, then.
Yeah, then it starts to get a bit expensive, doesn't it?
Oh, a bit expensive, and they're going to have to stay away.
So, you know, with this episode as well, you know, I think it's, you know, I wanted to sort of get your opinion in terms of why it's important that women are, I suppose, more made more aware of these experiences. And there might be some women out there who are thinking about it, maybe considering it, or have a friend or family member who can't have children. You know, I'm sort of thinking it's important to make them aware of it. And obviously yours has been a positive, incredible experience, and just sharing that with other people, it's, I suppose, helping others to understand. And also, I think sometimes it can be difficult to ask those questions because they can be sensitive, and some people don't kind of stay away from that area because it's something we don't talk about very much.
But you know me, so you know that I do talk a lot to people, even when I don't know them. But I'm really an open, honest person. And I actually find when I'm speaking to people, so even if I've gone to like a mother and baby group, the majority of people that I speak to have either done IVF, know someone who's going through IVF and they've had like failed rounds. So I'm always there and I'm always giving them words of encouragement. Because a lot of people do know about IVF. It's been around for over 40 years now. So they're aware of IVF itself. But what I worry about sometimes, but I do speak to people a lot about things. It's like they might not know how it works or how much it costs. And I do know the mental and physical. So this is a really positive, happy ending for me and Daisy. But in the midst of it, when I've been through the other rounds in the relationship, that's been a massive toll on my mental and physical health because I had 3 failed rounds.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that's like a roller coaster. You're up and then all of a sudden, you know,
and it's a lot. It's a lot of a pregnancy, unfortunately. Yeah. And that was a part of the relationship breakdown. But what I'd say about IVF is they have to pick the right clinic, because we was referred to the NHS hospital, because if you're diagnosed with a medical background with fertility, you get referred immediately to the NHS IVF hospital. The hospital in the NHS, but we don't feel that we was happy there. And the most important part is choosing the right clinic. I went with Care Fertility in Tamworth and they were amazing.
And of course there are other clinics out there, just need to make it.
Research your clinics.
Doing the research, making sure it's the right one for you. And everyone's different, everybody's got preferences. But you know, obviously with your journey, it's come to a happy ending. With Daisy, and not the one, you know, you first dreamt of when you were little. And I think I was actually trying to find a movie where there was a happy ending with a mother and a daughter, and Matilda came to mind.
Oh yeah,
when she adopted Matilda. What's her name? Honey, is it?
Yeah. Honey?
That was it at the end.
I'm trying to mother like Honey because she's really cute. So I hope that I am a bit like Miss Honey, to be fair.
I could just like, she was, I always said, oh, I wish I had a teacher like that, because she just
everyone needed a Miss Honey in their life. But Daisy's not like Matilda cute, she's more wild. Like Miss Trunchbull.
She hasn't got a special powers yet then, no?
No, but she has done a clip of Matilda though when she's ate that cake, like Bruce Bogtrotter. I did put it on social media. She's done Bruce Bogtrotter chocolate cake. Wow. Yeah.
But I think also there should be more movies like that as well, you know.
Yeah.
Rather than, because I think when we're little, you know, you watch the movies of, you know, the happy families finding love at the end, but I think there should be more of these.
Yeah, these movies, I mean, but it's always
single fathers.
The happy ending that we want to watch as kids, though. That's, I sometimes think we shouldn't change everything for children though and show them absolutely everything. Like we almost do keep it simple because that is it, but they will realize in life that sometimes the path might just go off track a little bit, but it will still be perfect for them in the end, and there's always light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think it's important to make them aware as well that actually you don't necessarily have to go down the path of, you know, getting engaged, finally getting married, you know, having children that way. Yes, no, it's ideal, but that's not always the right way, and it doesn't always suit everybody. No. You know, it's like marriage, for example. I don't believe marriage suits everybody.
It doesn't.
So I think before you actually make that choice, you have to decide, is this what I want, or is this what society expects me?
That's the thing. A lot of people do what society expects of them, and so many people, like we've said before when we've had past conversations, mm-hmm. about people settling and just making everyone else happy. I travel around the world. We don't need to get married. We just need unlimited cake and unlimited flights.
perfect. I'm loving it. I'm envying it. But it sounds amazing. You know, it's been a delight having you on this show. You know, thank you so much, guys. For sharing your journey with us. You know, we're extremely thankful to have you on, and we'd be delighted to have you on again in the future, you know, when Daisy is a little bit older, share the next part of your story. And yeah, all the best in the future with Daisy, and I'm sure she feels loved from you and the rest of your family and friends.
Yeah, well, next time you can ask her, because she'll be able to talk and she will tell you the truth if I am exactly. being amazing.
Exactly.
But no, thank you so much for having me on though, Senso.
That's okay. It has been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. See you. Take care. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
In this series, I'll be creating a safe space to allow friends and family to talk about their life changes, the trials and tribulations they've faced, and how taking on a new path has allowed them to be their authentic self. So until next time, you've been listening to Breaking the Mold with Sentho. Stay true, guys.